back to Voices from the Front Lines on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. And joining us on the phone right now is Renee Salcedo from La Raza Centro Legal and the San Francisco Day Laborers Program. Renee, welcome to the show. Hello, Renee. Seem to have a little bit of technical difficulty.
Hi, can you hear me?
Oh, there you go.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. So, Renee, I wanted to start off because just giving our listeners some of the bigger chunks, really bad things that are about this, just to kind of give you a platform to speak off of. And so the main thing we're talking about right now is the Border Protection, Anti-Terrorism, and Illegal Immigration Control Act of 2005. It's House Resolution 4437. And in mid-December, it passed through the House, and it's going to be going into the Senate in April. And so a couple of the really horrible things are, one, that if employers knowingly hire 10 or more undocumented immigrants, it should be considered smuggling, and it's an offense punishable by 5 years in prison. Another one is that it mandates churches, community organizations, et cetera, who are trying to find jobs for undocumented workers, they have to pre-screen the workers before they refer them to many jobs. If not, they could be liable for legal consequences.
Okay.
And then I think the third one, which it's unclear if it actually got into it, but I think it's just important to mention, there was a proposed amendment that was going to try to eliminate the birthright citizenship of babies who were born in the U.S. Whose parents are undocumented immigrants. So, Renee, with that, I think it would be good for you to just tell, since you do work with day laborers and pro-immigrant groups in the Bay Area, what some of these provisions actually do to your membership?
Well, if this law passes, it would have a devastating impact on the people who we work with, namely immigrant workers, most of them undocumented, because in addition to the provisions that you mentioned, the one component that worries our members the most includes the one that would automatically make undocumented immigrants aggravated felons. So what does that mean? You know, does that mean that people walking down the street, if you look like an immigrant, that you will be arrested by the cops? Does it mean that you will never be able to gain your legal residency? Because once you're considered a felon, then that blocks your opportunities. It's outrageous. You know, this is the most egregious anti-immigrant piece of legislation that we have seen in years at a national level. And not only the immigrant community, but everyone should be outraged that they're even talking about this stuff, let alone passing it through the House of Representatives.
So, Renee, one of the things that when I was in the Bay Area 6 years ago, I remember there was a victory that forces won that made San Francisco a raid-free city, and that was at the time of the INS as opposed to the Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah.
So what does that look like now, you know, from the wake of 9-1-1 leading up to this bill? How has that changed or how has that not changed?
You know, unfortunately, this anti-immigrant hysteria that we're living through, that's simply institutionalized by legislative proposals such as this one, creates a climate where Homeland Security and immigration feel a lot more comfortable coming into our communities and terrorizing our folks. You know, these are our families, these are our neighbors, these are people who, you know, are so afraid sometimes to even take their kids to school for fear that they're going to be discovered by immigration. So it has hurt our organizing efforts. You know, I unfortunately have to say that because while we were able to stop the raids almost completely here in San Francisco because there was such a political climate, right now, unfortunately, we're back to being in defensive mode. You know, there are raids not only happening in residential hotels here in the Latino community. We haven't seen that in the past few decades. So I think that the political climate that we find ourselves in has made it much more challenging for immigrant communities, unfortunately. And this new law just, you know, puts another log on the fire for people to scapegoat and, you know, blame immigrants for the problems that we all know don't come from immigrants at all, obviously.
Hi, Renee. This is Eric Mann with the Voices from the Frontline. How are you?
Good, Eric. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. Just want to clarify, you're not with the National Council of La Raza, are you?
No. I'm with La Raza Centro Legal, which is a local grassroots organization here in San Francisco's Mission District. And we run the San Francisco Day Labor Program, which is a grassroots membership organization made up of day laborers and domestic workers, both men and women, primarily undocumented immigrants who are fighting every day to be able to live with dignity in this country and to be able to provide that for their families. This new federal proposal does so many terrible things. You know, we could go down the list. But people here, and I'm sure in Los Angeles, are talking about, well, wait a second, they're turning us into felons. Our children are not going to be U.S. citizens, even though we've lived in this country for years and years. Our day labor centers are going to have to verify people's immigration status, which is such a ludicrous thing to demand, because that would annihilate our day labor centers. And we're criminalizing nonprofit workers simply for working with undocumented immigrants. I mean, that's what we're talking about. It's just outrageous.
No, I agree with you. It's outrageous. And the reason I asked for that clarification is where I'm going to ask the next question, because I didn't want you to. I think one of the problems is that if only the Republicans or the conservatives or the xenophobic forces in society were the opponents or the enemy, then we could figure out, well, what's the United Front right for immigrant rights? But I'm pretty appalled in my own opinion. I read, Damon provides me with a lot of background to read ahead of time. So I'm reading now talking points from the National Council of La Raza. And it starts out by saying, this bill is an attack, not an answer. This is not an anti-terrorism bill, not a border security bill, not an enforcement bill, and not an immigration reform bill. As if clearly we need an anti-terrorism bill, we need a border security bill, we need an enforcement bill, and we need an immigrant reform bill. It then says it targets all immigrants for punishment and does not contribute to our security or to immigration reform. As if, I guess, we should only target some immigrants, right? That, God forbid, we don't want to target them all. And then it ends by saying Hispanic Americans, like all Americans, well, first of all, I don't agree that Latinos are like, quote, all Americans. I think they're an oppressed people with a set of individual rights and collective rights, want effective reforms of the nation's immigration laws. Reform, as you know, is now, unfortunately, not a liberal word, but a conservative, that do not resolve the underlying problems, only a comprehensive approach that provides a path to citizenship, which is good for current undocumented immigrants, creates new legal channels for future flows, reduces family immigrant backlogs, immigration backlogs, protects workers' rights, will reduce undocumented immigrants. Fine, that's good. But then it says, we strongly believe that smart, effective, and realistic enforcement of a well-functioning immigration system is possible. The bill is a slap in the face to leaders of both parties who are working to bring about meaningful, comprehensive immigration reform. As my mother used to say in Jewish, with friends like this, who needs enemies? I mean, the question is, if certain forces in the immigrant rights field are trying to defeat these measures by supporting the concept of still enforcement of against immigrants, aren't we in a lot of trouble?
Well, the answer to that question is yes. Without speaking specifically to what the National Council of La Raza meant by what you just read, because I think that, you know, the internal tensions and divisions within the immigrant rights movement, I think should be dealt with when we decide that they should be dealt with. I don't know if it's such a good idea for me to trash immigrant rights organizations publicly, but I will tell you that our organization does not believe that any legislative proposal should include any enforcement. We think that immigration enforcement terrorizes our communities, and we think that any enforcement arm of Homeland Security should basically be abolished. As far as comprehensive reform, you know, that's the buzzword being used nowadays for basically legalization, or as people say, amnesty. That's what people are talking about. And there are divisions, I'm not going to lie, you know, there are divisions within the immigrant rights movement that cut across class lines usually around what, what that means. Does that mean that we should negotiate away and allow some enforcement to be in there, or a guest worker program? My organization doesn't. We don't think that we should be negotiating around legalization if it means beefed up enforcement or some kind of new Bracero program. And we have to struggle with our sisters and brothers and other organizations. You know, I mean, that unfortunately is a reality, and it's something that we deal with. I think that the key, however, is we as a movement always and ultimately have to be accountable to the stakeholders, to the immigrant workers, to the men and women who are undocumented, who are fighting so that they don't have to feel in fear of being deported constantly. That's the key, and I think that if we as a movement kept that in mind and follow the leadership of undocumented immigrants and other stakeholders, then I think we would have less of these problems.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, and I would just add before I turn it over to Damon that none of us are asked to trash anyone. I think the clear articulation of difference is badly needed at this point in history, and it can't simply take place in private. If a group puts out a talking points document, then it becomes a public document. And if we don't challenge it or give you the opportunity to simply respectfully disagree, we have to understand that that will not just enter into the debate, but may not dominate the debate, right? And I think what you just said, speaking in your own voice and simply differentiating yourself, is a very helpful contribution. So on our show, Voices from the Frontlines, we welcome debate, which is not in the realm of trashing each other, but simply, it's not like if we don't talk about those differences, people in the world don't know they exist.
Yeah, no, thank right. you, and I appreciate that. And that's why, you know, this radio station and KPFA, which is our local station, that's why you guys are so important. So I applaud that.
Back to you, my brother.
So, Renee, I know the other work that you also have been doing is around the immigrant driver's licenses.
Yes.
And I wanted to see, in terms of the immigrant driver's licenses, the Real ID Act, which is around the federal identifications, and this bill, H.R. 4437, how is that playing out in terms of your work, in terms of fighting back against that?
Well, you know, it's made it much more challenging. Again, last year we were very close to getting legislation passed at the statewide level to get driver's licenses reinstated for everyone, regardless of immigration status. And they used the federal laws as a way to justify not doing it. And, you know, we kept saying, look, this federal law doesn't preclude you from passing a driver's license law. And, you know, but then they spout the rhetoric, and immigrants are potential terrorists and so on and so forth. So, you know, I mean, they do it purposely. They try to confuse us. They try to they scapegoat us. And immigrants, right, you know, it's like immigrants a few years ago were welfare suckers, and then they were job stealers, and now they're potential terrorists. So what's next?
So along with that, in terms of kind of just thinking about, okay, what's the tactical plan? So if you look at, when you're just talking about Eric was just saying, like, you know, in terms of just trying to accentuate the differences, I mean, clearly if we talk about the immigrant driver's license, there was even a whole thing around, we want to have immigrants have different color licenses, which makes it easier for them to pick out and whatnot. So in terms of, I would say, both campaigns, if you're talking about getting the immigrant driver's licenses and then moving to go against the Senate passing of this House resolution, what is your organization, I would say the more progressive point of the pro-immigrant movement, what are you trying to do to actually bring this about.
Yeah.
And what can our listeners do in the last 3 minutes?
Okay, well, what we've been prioritizing is what I mentioned before, developing and following the leadership of immigrant communities, which means that we've been facilitating the coming together of regional coalitions. We work nationally with organizations like the National Day Labor Organizing Network, but also organize locally and through local strategies. So at this point, you know, I think the main themes are we need to remain steadfast as far as what we want and not negotiate down. We can't have driver's licenses that are marked.
That's right.
Because why? Because undocumented immigrants don't want them. We can't create a legalization program that includes enforcement and a guest worker program. Why? Because that hurts our people. How can we negotiate that? We have to keep fighting and keep organizing around what it is that we are truly serve the interests of our communities. So what people, your listeners, can do to support is find out, you know, where those grassroots immigrant-led organizations are. In Los Angeles, you know, you got great groups that we work with, like Chirla and others. And, you know, ask them what you can do to support them. How can you support immigrant-led campaigns? We need sometimes, you know, we need people with papers to help provide transportation for people who don't have papers, or to, you know, to deal with the cops, or, you know, things like that. Work with us on logistical things, on providing more resources for these kinds of things. So a lot of exciting things coming up. The Day Labor Network, we're going to do some visible protesting in the next couple months. And then here regionally, we're going to be going up to Sacramento again and demanding unmarked driver's licenses as we have been for years. A lot of stuff going on, and I'm sorry that it's hard to go through it in 3 minutes. But there's so much work that needs to be done. The main thing is that people remember who has the most to lose here and whose opinions should we be respecting here as far as strategies and tactics. And we believe that it's the immigrant workers and the undocumented immigrants who have most to lose who should be at the forefront of this movement.
Right. Thank you, Renee. You've been listening to Renee Salcedo, and I'm Damon Azali, and Eric with Eric Mann as co-host. We'd like to thank Renee. We also like to thank Jim Lafferty today. And we had music by CeeLo, Goody Mob, Lila Downs, and Lonnie Johnson is coming on. You can listen to previous Voices shows at www.thestrategycenter.org, and we have a comment line at voices@thestrategycenter.org. We'd like to thank our producer, Alan Minsky, production assistant, Lisa Adler, our engineer, Maggie LaPique. We'll see you next week.